All right, I'll ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 121. Lord willing, I'm going to be preaching out of Genesis 24. But before we look at Genesis 24, let's look at Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Our Father, we thank you for this evening and Lord, for the privilege to be able to read your word. I ask you now to bless it. Bless, I pray, as we consider your scriptures, Genesis 24. Lord, as we soon shall partake of your table. Lord, bless this evening of our hearing of the gospel for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, now I'll ask you to take your Bibles and turn back to Genesis 24. Genesis 24. As we continue going through this passage of Scripture, it sets forth the calling out of the bride of Isaac. Beautiful picture and type of how the Lord calls out his bride. The servant of Abraham, excuse me, has been found at a well. A woman, after he's prayed, has walked up. And while he was praying, she came up and he watched her. She went over to fill up her pitcher with water and he asked her for a drink of water, and she said, I'll give you a drink of water, and she said, I'll water your camels too. And that was exactly what the servant of Abraham had asked for. And the Lord was pleased to bless it. He put it in the servant's heart to ask. He put it in Rebecca's heart to respond, just exactly like that. And he asked her, what family was she from? She said, I'm from the family of Nahor, Bethuel, my daddy. And he thanked the Lord, blessed the Lord for blessing his journey, for giving him good speed. That's what he asked. Lord, would you give me good speed? That was his prayer. Well, now, after he prayed, in verse 27 of Genesis 24, he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Now, we're going to look at the unfolding of a conversation that's going to take place between the servant of Abraham and the family of Rebekah. Now, Rebekah had run home to tell her family what had happened. And the scripture we take up right here in verse 29, and Rebekah had a brother. His name was Laban, and Laban ran out unto the man, under the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands. And when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me," he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." Now, he was accommodating, but really the part that gives some insight of his motive. Now, this is what all the commentators said, and I find no reason not to think that this is probably not so. It said, verse 30, "Came to pass when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, 'Thus spake the man to me,' he came to the man." I don't doubt, again, that he's being kind, hospitable. But it could have been that there was a hope of gain there. You know, we're all prone to, you know, see things like this. But whatever the reason, now the servant of Abraham has a place, and it's of the family of Abraham. And the scripture says in verse 32, 33, "The man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, 'I will not eat until I have told mine era.' And he said, 'Speak on.'" Now, it's amazingly beautiful to behold the miracle of the grace of God in the calling out of God's people. Here's this servant that is being now graciously and generously treated by Rebekah's family, and all of the needs of himself, those that were with him, of his camels, are being cared for. And they tell him, they lay before him all this food. They've got him something to eat. But he said, "Now I've got something more important that I've got to do." The servant of Abraham, as the servants of God, was taken up foremost with his master's business. There was something upon his heart, according to the working of God Almighty, that he preferred above everything else. Number one, it was God's will and Abraham's interest. What he said was, I appreciate everything you're doing. I appreciate the food. I appreciate the lodging. I appreciate your kindness to me, to my servants, to these animals. I appreciate everything you're doing. But he said, I'm not going to eat. I'm not even going to respond to the hand of your graciousness and satisfy the desires or the needs of myself before I tell you of my commission. There's something that's more needful to be spoken of than this eating. I've got to tell you why I'm here. And the servant said, "Well, speak on." You know, what a blessing to be consumed with the Lord, and to hear one relate with anxiousness the glorious message of Christ. What he's doing right here is gloriously setting forth how God calls his people. And that's the important thing. And he said, I'm not going to be distracted with this. I appreciate what you're doing, but I can't. There's I got to tell you concerning the grace of God to send me the Lord that blessed my efforts and has brought me to this place and moved this woman to say what she did." He said, the cares of this world are just going to have to take second place And so we desire to be anxious and forthright and steadfast in our mission. The Lord Jesus Christ said of himself, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." So one whose heart has been made to behold the glory of Almighty God in the message of the gospel, the calling out of God's sheep, that's the issue. That's the only issue that can be. 1 Corinthians 1, 22-24 says, "The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And when we hear that, Jesus Christ and him crucified, that entails the scope of the glorious gospel that God Almighty chose a people, put them in Christ before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed them by the shedding of his blood. The Spirit of God calls them out of darkness. So when we say Christ and him crucified, we're speaking of the entirety of the message of the gospel. And that's what God's people want to hear. Tell me about him. Tell me about the Lord that has loved me with an everlasting love, and the one that came into this world to save his people from their sins. 34 and 35, here's what he told them. He said, "I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds, and silver and gold, and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses." You know, what a glorious confession that was made by this messenger of Abraham when he set forth. He said, I'm Abraham's servant. But to hear one confess, "I am the bond slave. I am the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ." This is what Paul said, Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. This is what he says when he wrote the letter to the church of Philippi, Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. In Titus 1:1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. You know, this is the highest of callings. Who are you? Well, you know, name any office you want to, any vocation you want to, you know, but to say I'm the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, it gets no higher than that. He is my Lord, I am his servant. So that's an honest and sincere confession of humility. I am the Lord's servant. But that's truly the characteristic of God's people. That's what they desire to be. That's what they willingly desire to be. I am his bond slave. My ear bored with all of his mercy and compassion. I love him. He loved me first. I love him. I love him. So Abraham was this servant's master, a beautiful and fit type of Almighty God in the relationship of his people to himself. He's the sovereign of heaven and earth, and all regenerated by his grace are in subjection to him, the master of his people. He's their creator, yes, but he's their Lord. He's my God, he's my King. He's the bridegroom. He's my priest. He's my redeemer. It's just on and on and on. I am his servant. And so God's servants clearly set forth him. He is the God of heaven and earth. David, where's your God? My God's in the heaven. He does whatever he wants to. All as he will. And so he says, as they say, as Nebuchadnezzar said, he said, all the inhabitants of the earth, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed, as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of earth. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Then in verse 36, he continues his story. He said, "And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath." Now here, the servant set forth. Now, I am Abraham's servant. And he said, Abraham's wife, when she was old, we saw that past childbearing age. He said, my master's wife, Sarah, bore him a son. And my master, Abraham, that's got all these things. God's blessed him, verse 35, given him flocks, herds, silver, gold, everything. He's given everything unto his son Isaac. Isaac now has all that is his father's. So Isaac, in wealth and power and purpose, was equal to Abraham. Abraham's the daddy, he's the son, but everything the daddy's got, the son's got. And all that Almighty God was pleased to give, which was everything, he gave to the son. All power. Give me all power. That's John 17:2, in heaven and earth. Why? That I should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given him. So here we consider him who is the fulfillment of the type of Isaac, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son in covenant, mercy, and grace, and the one in whom the Father first trusted. Here's the Father's will. Here's the Father's will. That of all that he's given me, I should lose nothing. This is the Father's will. The Father has a people that he's chosen. He gave them to me, the Lord Jesus Christ, and entrusted him with the work. Now you redeem them. Now you save them. And the Father trusted him. And so here's my master's son. He's got a son, and one that he's given everything to. And he says in verse 37, 38, my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go into my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. Now, Abraham, obviously directed by the Spirit of God, told his servant, he said, now you go find a wife. This is where I want you to go. You go to my kindred, and I want you to take a wife, not of the daughters of Abraham, not of the ranks of the rejected. No. But a wife for Isaac was to be sought among Abraham's kindred. I say that among the ranks of the rejected. Years ago, I know I've told this story years and years ago. The Lord was pleased to reveal himself to me while I was pastoring a Southern Baptist church. And I crossed paths with Brother Henry Mahan. My mama introduced him to me. They were having a meeting at Kitchens Creek. I was pastoring a little church down in South Louisiana. Just didn't know anything. And I came in the process of time, the Lord was pleased to reveal himself. Brother Henry and I had a wonderfully close relationship. He was in my home. I was in his home many, many, many times. And the Lord revealed himself to me. And while I was hearing these things, I began to preach them there. And it happened, it fell out providentially that I was invited to come to this convention and to speak. And I was a speaker, and I got up and I took a text, and the text was, and the Lord was, and please the Lord to save as many as were ordained to eternal life, in Book of Acts. Well, they asked me to vacate the pulpit then, and second guy came up, and this is what I'm getting to right here on this. Don't go. I'm not looking for a bride among the people of Canaan. The second man got up, and he told me, told the people, he said, here's how we're building our church. He said, we give out these cards. You remember me telling y'all this illustration. I know you do. We have these membership cards, and we give them to all our members, just hand them all out, and we just tell them, go everywhere you want to, and get people's names. Just walk up and get their names. Get their names and address, phone number, and then turn it in to our church office. And those people are enrolled into our assembly. They're enrolled in our church. And he said, we're looking to have 1,000 new members this year. And I thought to myself, this is what I thought. Here I was in Louisiana. I thought, you know, if that's all it took to increase the numbers of an assembly, Chuck, I could go down to the Superdome when they're having a football game and handing out cards and have somebody filling them out for me. Man, I could get no telling how many. If that's all it takes, just put your name on a roll. And he said, I want you to go find a bride for my son, but don't go to the land of Canaan. Don't go to the daughters of the rejected. The bride of Christ was to be found among the chosen family of God, those that were loved and chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And Abraham's servant was obedient. He went, he prayed, he asked the Lord, but he didn't know who the bride was. He didn't know where she would be found. He's asking the Lord for guidance, and Abraham had told him. He said, God will send his spirit, his angel, and he'll guide you and direct you. And we're doing the same thing tonight. I don't know who the bride of Christ is. I said, I have a good idea on some that the Lord's been pleased to save, but if there's someone here and I don't know who she is, but we seek the bride among those who are the chosen family of God, but we do it in the exact way that the Lord instructed us to do it. You go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so he continued his story here. Verse 39 to 49. I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, now I've read over this verse right here, and I just listen to the surety of it. This is the glory of this passage. He asked, what if I go and no one wants to come? He said unto me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. Now that's an encouragement right there. And thou shalt take a wife from my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my brethren, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. I'm thinking to myself, this is liberty. This is freedom. This is a promise that you can rest in right here. You preach the gospel. You make that your concern. You make that the issue. The only issue. You preach the gospel of God's grace. You tell them what God has purposed, what Christ has done, what he's fulfilled, what he finished, where he is. He's coming back. You tell them of Christ and his glory. And the Lord has promised the bride will come. She will come. She'll be made willing in the day of God's power. You do that and let that be your issue. You do that, and if you never see anybody come, if I never see another person that confesses the Lord, if I never hear one more person ever come up to me and say, listen, I hear what you're saying. I believe the gospel that you're preaching. And I want to confess the Lord in baptism. Not baptism doesn't save you, but it's an open confession before the world. This is my heart confession right here. And I'm going to confess him the way he said to confess him. You preach the gospel. And if I never see another one, God's word still stands. God's word is sure. The bride is going to come. All that the Father has given me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But if I never see another one, if I never see another one out of my family converted, if I preach the gospel and let that be my issue and that's my concern, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred. If they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came, he said, this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, before I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out of my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, he didn't say this out loud. He wasn't trying to say it out loud so somebody could hear it, maybe kind of give him a little nudge. No, he said, I was before I had done speaking in my heart, before Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water, and I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hand. I bowed down my head and I worshiped the Lord and bless the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you'll deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Now this was the question of the steward to Abraham. What if she won't come? Oh, how we've doubted, thinking there's so few that believe our report. Who hath believed our report? There seems to be so few that do come, but they're the Lord's, and he's going to have them. He's promised that. Our issue is the preaching, the supporting of the gospel. And the Lord told Abraham to tell the servant, I'll send my angel, and he'll prosper. He'll prosper your way, and she will come. How thankful that we know that the requirement of drawing the bride is not our efforts and not our ability to to, you know, speak words of wisdom and try to manipulate people. We just tell them what God has done. Tell them the truth of God's gospel and the responsibility of calling out God's servant. That's what it is. You preach the truth. That's what we told Timothy. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Don't let anything else distract you. You preach the word. Be faithful to do that. Satan has lied to men, tell them that he's got a will and he's got an ability to choose and he's got this you know, free will to do whatever. But it's calculated to give man all the honor. This servant right here, he did what Abraham told him to do. He asked the Lord to bless it, and God blessed it, and he praised and worshiped the Lord. So as the steward of Abraham had faithfully laid out the message of Abraham, his master, and of his son, we lay out the truth of Christ. This is what we do. We tell them what God Almighty has said concerning himself, and we rehearse it is what we're doing. And he pressed the family. He said, now, I've told you why I'm here. It's why I came. I'm here because it's where I was led to. He said, now, that last verse, if you'll deal kindly and truly with my master, you tell me. And if not, tell me. Tell me what you want to do, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. But he said, I'm here to find a bride for my master's son. This is what we're here for. This is what we're here to do. We're here for the calling out of the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ has got a bride, and he's going to have her. And he's commissioned ministers to preach the gospel. And people, God's people come and they hear that message over and over and over. And it's just as fresh tonight as it was the first time when God revealed himself to them through that gospel. I pray God bless this to our hearts for Christ's sake. All right.